Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
The scripture declares, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph." In just a moment, I want us to give God praise because it's through him that we have victory in life. And I really do believe that victory belongs to the righteous. So will you take about 3 seconds and give God praise right here for victory in your life? Come on, let me hear from the triumphant ones right here, from the victorious ones right here. Come on, from every winner right here. Now, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that one more time because quite possibly there's somebody in this room or watching us online that is in the middle of a battle, that is in the middle of a fight, and maybe feels like they are going to take an L on this one. Maybe they feel like defeat is imminent. Maybe they feel like they can't go on another step or another day. I want us to lift up a praise for them just to encourage them to know not to give up, not to quit, not to throw in the towel, but victory belongs to the righteous. Take a moment right here. Encourage somebody with your praise and lift up a sound right here of victory in the house of God. Hallelujah. Well, it's so good to be back here at Wave Church. This place has been an oasis on many occasions for my wife and I. Over the course of the last 9 years, we've had the opportunity to come and just be refreshed and encouraged, inspired, and challenged. And we're so grateful for this church, which is not only one of the great churches in America, but one of the great churches in the world. I want to say a big thank you to our dear friends, Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon. Wonderful, wonderful people. Dr. Sam Chan put us together our first year here in Virginia. Had been hearing about the two of you for a number of years in the Great Wave Conference. And I told Doc, I said, I got to get down there and see what God is doing. And he said, let me put that together for you. And put us together. They extended the invitation to come down, spend a little time in staff meeting and go and have some lunch afterwards. And since that time, we've been developing relationship. And I'm just thankful that in our journey, God puts on our journey some people that will be a blessing. And these two have been that for us. And I want you to let them know how much we all appreciate them. You're not making enough noise right here. Let them know how much you appreciate them. So glad to have my family with me. My girlfriend of 29 years of marriage this year is with me. Our kids, two of them, we have 3 children, but 2 of them are here, Kristen and Jeffrey, as was mentioned, and I'm just thankful for family. How many know family is a blessing from the Lord? And so I'm glad for my family being here today. Come on, let's get into the Word of God. Grab your Bible, your iPad, your phone, whatever it is that you read Scripture from, and join me in looking at Matthew chapter 4. So good to have everyone joining us in person and online. We're grateful that we can connect here today, knowing that God is an omnipresent God. He's with us everywhere and at all times. Matthew chapter 4, let's look at this familiar story here. Matthew 4, beginning at verse 18, begins this way. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw 2 brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me and I'll make you.'" Follow me and I'll make you. "Fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw 2 other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time that we have here together. We don't take it for granted, but we count ourselves blessed and privileged to be standing in your presence once again. For in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And in your presence, we understand that there is the potential and the promise of a great future in you. And so for that, we give you thanks here today. And I ask that the scripture that we read here today, breathe upon it by your spirit, cause it to come alive and speak to us that it might guide us into what you have next for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you're seated, look at somebody next to you and tell them, you don't know how blessed you are standing next to me today. You don't really know how blessed you are standing next to me. You've been wanting to tell them that all service long anyway. I know you. Here it is. Let's jump into it. A number of years ago, I was in a conversation with a consultant that came to do a little work with our church, and he came on this particular weekend to get an overview of the church, to get a better insight and understanding of the church, and we spent quite a bit of time in conversation, and during that conversation, he asked the question, when did you receive your call to ministry? I hesitated there for a moment and looked him right in his eye and said to him, well, man, I don't really remember a moment. I don't have that epiphany where I had this call into ministry that I received. I don't really have that to recall in my history. And I began thinking about that because in Scripture, so many times we see these spectacular, supernatural encounters or experiences where individuals are called by God. You know many of these familiar stories. We think about Moses, perhaps, who has the experience there at the burning bush. Can you imagine that? A bush is burning, but it's not consumed. And then on top of that, an angel begins speaking to him out of the bush that was burning that did not get consumed. And that was his call by God to be a deliverer to the children of Israel. And as I thought about my life, I didn't have any burning bush experience, no angel talking out of the foliage to me about my destiny or future. Let me just ask a question. Has anybody had any burning bush experiences in here? Okay, I thought not. Yeah. I think about other supernatural encounters like Elisha and Elijah. Imagine Elisha. He's plowing there in the field, and here comes the preeminent prophet of that day. And he throws his coat, his cloak, his mantle on him while he is plowing with the yoke of oxen. And does it in such a way as to indicate to Elisha, you're next. As I look back on my journey, I don't recall anybody taking off their mantle, their coat, their cloak, and throwing it on me and announcing, you're next. Let me ask again, has anybody had some strange person come up to you, throw a coat on you, and announce to you, you are next? I think not. I think about David, who's there in the field with the sheep, and here the preeminent prophet then was Samuel. He comes with a horn of oil and summons David into the house and pours the oil on him, and there's young David standing there with a greasy head and a promise over his life that he's going to be king. Let me ask again, has anybody had somebody pour a horn of oil over your head and announce you're going to be king? I think not. I think about Esther, who's there with the destiny of a nation hanging in the balance. The Jews are about to be destroyed, and here it is. The word comes to her that could it be that you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? She's got the gravity of that moment, the weight of that situation upon her. I don't recall ever having that kind of scenario to walk through. I think about Mary and the angel that comes to her and says, you're going to be the one that carries the Christ child. I didn't have any angelic encounters that I could point to where I received my call to ministry. I didn't have a Damascus Road experience where, like Paul, he was on his donkey going to do what he was going to do, and he gets knocked off of his donkey. A light shines from heaven, and he's converted in that moment. I didn't have any of that to look back on. And it's interesting because when I look at those scenarios, many of us would say those are callings of God. Those are those moments, those epiphanies where you have these supernatural angelic encounters, a voice from heaven. But the reality is that many of us have never had those encounters. It's one of the things that really draws me to the text that we read here today, because my journey has been more like that. When I look at Jesus then calling these four disciples, he does it in what I call an inconspicuous invitation. There's not a lot of fanfare. There's no band. There's no majestic voice from heaven. There is no supernatural experience. He just is walking by, sees them fishing, and with an inconspicuous invitation, he says, "Follow me and I'll make you." Follow me and I'll make you. If you're not careful, you can just read over that. You can just move on past that. But think about the significance of those words for these young men, and think about the significance as it relates to you and me, the words, "Follow me and I'll make you." It's interesting to me because this inconspicuous invitation, "Follow me and I'll make you," these words really first resonated in my heart as a youngster. I was still in middle school at the time, and my first pastor, I've only had two pastors in my life, and my first pastor, Bishop William James, who I had the utmost respect for and admired him, looked up to him, I had an occasion to talk with him, and I asked him, I said, "Bishop, how have you been able to do all of the things that you have done?" This is early 80s, and he's pastoring five churches. This is before it was really in vogue to have multi-site. He is not only pastoring those five churches, he's traveling all over the country. He's having significant impact and influence. And so I asked him, "Bishop, how have you been able to do this? How have you accomplished all this?" And he said, "Jeffrey, at an early age, I felt like God spoke to my heart and simply said, 'Follow me, and I'll make you.'" He said, "All my life, I've just been trying to be true to that, to follow him and allow him to make me." And so we see in this text here, this is what Jesus says. It's an inconspicuous invitation, but you've got to understand that many times divine invitations come disguised as inconvenient interruptions. You got to see this, because in the story we have these two fishermen, that's what they did. Jesus comes as they're going through the routine of life, doing what they had done day after day, week after week, month after month. He comes and interrupts them and says, "Follow me and I'll make you." It's an inconvenient interruption, but it's really a divine invitation. You got to see the inconvenience of this, because fishing is how they made a living. Fishing is how they put food on the table. It's how they had a roof over their head. It's how they paid their bills. Yet Jesus comes and interrupts them and says, "Follow me and I'll make you." I think it's quite interesting, because many times that's what God does with us. We're in our routine. We're going through our ritual. We're doing what we normally are accustomed to doing. And it's interesting how many times Jesus will show up in those moments and interrupt us, maybe in a way that seems inconvenient. But don't focus on the inconvenience. Zero in on the fact that it's really a divine invitation. Look at this. They are making a living, but God wants to give them a life. So many times we can get caught up in making a living that we're not really living a life. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have" what? "Life, and that more abundantly." No matter what it is that you're doing, being a parent, a business owner, whatever it is, God wants you to live beyond just the task or the duty and understand the significance of it that he has in it for you. And so this interruption leads to a decision. And I love the response of the disciples here. The Bible says that when Jesus said, "Follow me, I'll make you," they dropped their nets. There was no dialogue that's recorded, no debate that is recorded. They just dropped their nets and followed him. Somebody they'd not seen before, perhaps not ever heard of before, but they dropped their nets and followed him. Get this, if you're in that moment, the discernment that you have to know that this invitation is the invitation that you've been waiting on all of your life. No. It had to be a unique ability to hear the voice in the voice, to know that the voice speaking to me is the voice that carries my destiny. They drop their nets. That's their way of living. That's their way of surviving. They dropped their nets. The nets is what they used to catch the fish that allowed them to have a living. And they dropped the nets. I have found in life that one of the keys is that you got to know what to let go of and what to hold on to. Yeah. And I'll be honest, there's been times where I've gotten the two mixed up. What I was supposed to let go of, I held on to. And what I was supposed to hold on to, I let go of. Y'all looking at me like I'm the only one that's ever got those crossed up. Do I have any witnesses in the house that have ever gotten those two mixed up? But they dropped the nets. And it's interesting to me because the nets is what they use to catch something, to give them a life. But I have found that if you don't drop the net ends up getting you all tangled up and you find yourself stuck in life, not able to move on in life. Here it is. Jesus says, "Follow me." That's all he says. He doesn't give any more information. He just says, "Follow me." Now, y'all looking like you all right with that. I'm not all right with that. Follow me. Follow you where? Follow you when? Follow you how? Follow me. We need more information, Jesus. Can you fill in the blanks on this? How about more detail on this? Isn't it interesting how Jesus many times leaves information out? When we want more clarity, he says, "I'm giving you all the clarity you need. Follow me." But the blessing of it is this, is that God is a better leader than I am a follower. Now you missed a good place to say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. He's a better leader than I am a follower, because I know me, that there's times where my followership is nowhere near his leadership. I miss a cue, I miss an exit, I miss a turn, but he is such a leader that he knows how to come back and pick me up at the point that I missed out on. No. You know how it is. You're supposed to be following somebody maybe to a restaurant. And you're talking in the parking lot and they tell you, just follow me and we'll get there. No worries. You don't need to know the directions. Just follow me and we'll get there. And when you're talking in the parking lot, it's all calm and peaceful and it's easy. And, you know, you're just thinking we're going to just take this cruise through the city to get to where we're going. And it's funny because you get out of the parking lot and as soon as they get on the road, they turn into, you know, JoJo Speedster. They're Mario Andretti and they're just running through in and out of cars and running stop signs. And you're supposed to be following them. Then you get on the highway and then they really floor it and here the exit is and they get off the exit quick and you can't make the turn that quick. And so you're on the highway and now you're totally lost and you call them and they say, well, just get off at the next exit, make this turn here and turn over there and we'll be waiting over you over here. And you think to yourself, but I was supposed to be following you. Aren't you glad Jesus does not lead that way? That when we miss a turn, he'll come back and pick us up and get us to where we're supposed to be going. If you're glad that he leads better than you follow, take 3 seconds and give God a praise right here and right now that he's leading you, he's guiding you, he's directing you. Your steps are ordered. Now watch this, because he says, follow me. He invites us into a journey, and then he says, and I'll make you. Follow me and I'll make you. I love that because it's as though he is telling the disciples, I will take ownership of your making. I will take ownership of your development. I'll make you. That does my heart a whole lot of good. I get tripped up in thinking about that because the burden that's lifted in knowing that God is making us. See, we live in a society where we celebrate and we congratulate the self-made person. And that's good to some degree, but I am so glad to know that I don't have to make myself, but God is making me. He's forming me. He's fashioning me. It's Jeremiah 18 where you have the clay that is in the hand of the potter. Cannot the potter do with the clay as he will? And so many of us are like that piece of clay that has been marred that needs to be made again anew. He's making us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God's hand is on my life. He's making me. He's making me. He's making you. It's so good because this is the understanding that God wants to make you for what he has made for you. You missed another spot. He's making you for what he's made for you. It's the understanding that he's made something specifically, uniquely, individually for you. And if he's made that uniquely, individually, specifically for you, only he can make you for what he's designed for you. And I'm so glad to know that not only does he make something for me, but he makes me for the thing that he's made for me. If you're glad about that, give the Lord a praise right here that he's making you for what he's made for you. Wrap your arms around yourself and say this with me. God is, I can't feel you say, God is making me. Now, I know this to be true because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says it this way. God says it this way in Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should, what? Walk in them. Oh, how I love that, because it answers the four perennial questions of man. It answers the question, where did I come from? That's what it says here. We were created in Christ Jesus. It settles the issue of identity. This is so important because many people don't live life to the fullest because they don't know who they are. They don't know from whence they came. And he says here, we were created in Christ Jesus. We are not the evolution of some lower life form. We are made in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've got his DNA in me. If you're glad about it, take 3 seconds and give God a praise if you know that you're a child of God. Hey! It answers the question of why am I here? This is the issue of purpose. Here it is. It says that we were created for good works. You were created for good. This is good news because maybe you are in a bad environment. Maybe you came from a bad upbringing. Maybe all you see around you is bad. All you know is bad. But I love this scripture which tells us that we were created for good works. No matter our environment, no matter our history, no matter our surroundings, no matter our journey, he says you're created for good. That's good news for somebody watching online or in this place here today. You were created for good. There's good in you. I don't care what anybody has told you. I don't care what any label somebody has put on you. You were created for good because you came from a good, good father. If you know I'm telling the truth, take about 3 seconds one more time and give God some praise if you know there's some good on the inside of you. Let me hurry here because it answers the question, where did I come from? Why am I here? Thirdly, it answers the question, what can I do? It's the issue of potential. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. This speaks of my potential, my capacity, my ability. When others may have written you off and others may have dismissed you and devalued you, you've got to know that your maker has put potential on the inside of you to do good and great things that will bring his name glory and honor. Ah, I love it. 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 And notice how it starts here. We are his workmanship. We, in another translation, it says we are his masterpiece. Yeah. You are his masterpiece. You are bespoke. You are a limited edition. Matter of fact, look at somebody real close to you and tell them you're looking at a masterpiece. You're looking at a masterpiece. Tell them you're looking at a limited edition. You're looking at a limited edition. Yeah, I'm watching y'all. Some of y'all said that with way too much pride. I was looking at you, way too much pride. And so this verse answers, where did I come from? Why am I here? What can I do? And fourthly, where am I going? Destiny. Notice these things, these good works were created beforehand. Before you even arrived on the planet. Before the foundation of the earth, God had already beforehand destined and designed good works for you. I love it. I love it. And so when I think about the question that was posed to me from that consultant, he says to me, when did you receive your call? And I have to say, it's more like this right here. I can remember as a youngster having the desire for ministry. I would look to the platform and I would tell God, I want you to use me like that someday. It's interesting because Psalms 37 says that if we delight ourselves in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. He'll cause us to desire the thing that he desires for us. He gave me that desire and he began to nurture that. For you, it might be something else. It might be to go into law. It might be to go into government. It might be to go into military. It might be to start a business. He'll put the desire in your heart. He put the desire in my heart and my deal with God. And I say a deal because I just told God, look, if that's what you want me to do, open the door and I'll walk through it. But until then, I'm just going to do this corporate thing. So I went on, majored in finance, graduated, went on to IBM, was at IBM for a number of years, left IBM, and then went on into banking and was successful in banking. And I remember on a Super Bowl night, we were having a Super Bowl bash at the church, and my current pastor says to me, "We're thinking about expanding the staff. Your name keeps popping up. What do you want to do with your life?" Invitation came not too long after that for me to leave my career and go into ministry. And I said, yes. A little while later, he says, "We're getting ready to revamp our youth ministry and want to restructure that. I want you to do that. Will you do it?" I said, yes. A few years later, he says, "We're getting ready to go on TV. We're going to have a TV ministry." And I didn't know anything about TV, had no TV experience. And he says, "I want you to start the TV ministry, train the volunteers, work with the equipment, and get our TV ministry started. Will you do it?" I said, yes. A little while after that, we were sending people all over the world for missions trips that particular year. And he asked me to lead a team of 13 to Kenya for 2 weeks. I had never been out of the country, let alone lead a team out of the country. He says, "Will you do it?" I said, yes. A few years after that, the church that I'm now pastoring, the outgoing pastor, decides that he wants to transition. I'm working on the succession plan, and as we're walking through that, my pastor says, "Well, after we've looked at the profile of who the incoming pastor needs to be, it really matches you. What do you think about relocating your family from Ohio to Fredericksburg, Virginia?" I said, yes. As I'm telling the consultant this, he's tracking with me. He says, "Man, that's your next book." I said, "What you talking about?" He said, "Your next book is..." My answer was yes. He said, "Your yes has carried you all around the world. Your yes has opened doors that in no other way would have been opened. It has caused you to have relationships and experiences that you would not have had any other way. You just simply said yes. You followed him and the Lord made you." Getting ready to close right here because I believe God has a divine invitation for each and every one of us. The call of God simply to me is his invitation for me to embrace his divine intention for my life. And God has a divine intention for each and every person in here. It's not all the same thing, but it is something. And he just wants to know, will you follow him so he can make you? I believe God has something great in store for you. And this is your moment to throw down the net, to walk away from what was, and begin to embrace what will be in him. Getting ready to pray right here and right now because somebody needs to start the journey by first saying yes to him by giving your life to him. That's how it all begins. That's where the fun starts, by just saying, "God, I'm not going to make myself any longer. That really doesn't work. But I'm going to give my life to you and allow you to make it as you will." Getting ready to pray. As a matter of fact, people are already making decisions online. Quite possibly there's individuals in this room that need to give that first yes to the Lord right here and right now. That yes that says, "My life belongs to you." I'm asking everyone to stand to your feet. We're getting ready to pray right here and right now. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. And if you need to give God that yes and surrender your life to him, we're going to pray a prayer all together. And that's going to be your moment. Maybe you're watching online. I see more decisions are coming in. Six people have already indicated that they want this moment to be their moment. Yeah. And I believe there's more. Well, God is simply saying, "Follow me and I'll make you." Getting ready to pray. I'm gonna count to three. If you're in this room and you need this moment to be your moment, just want you to shoot your hand up so I know who I'm praying with and who I'm praying for. On the count of three, one, don't miss this moment. Don't assume there's going to be another moment. Two, don't put off till tomorrow what can be done today. Three, lift up your hand right here and right now if you know that this is your moment and you want to say yes to the Lord. Lift up that hand right here and right now. I see you. I see you. I see you. Come on, make a little noise. I see you. Come on, make a little noise right now. I see you. Come on, make a little noise right here for all those who are courageously putting up their hand and saying yes to the Lord. We all gonna pray this prayer together because this prayer ain't gonna hurt nobody, but it's gonna help everybody. Come on, let's pray this prayer right here. Dear God, I come to you today and I recognize that I need you. Today, my answer is yes. I give my life to you totally and completely. Forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all wrong. Today, I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. My answer is yes. Thank you for saving me. Now take a moment and give God praise right here. Come on, make a little noise right here. Hey. God bless you, God bless you. Getting ready to leave. I need you to know I've got a few resources out there. I've got this book called Breakthrough Is In You, Conquering Five Fears That Keep You From Advancing. I talk about a number of fears that keep us from advancing, the fear of failure, the fear of going first, the fear of opposition, the fear of investment. Somebody, there's a breakthrough waiting on you, but you got to overcome the fears that keep you from advancing. I've got some series out there on drop cards. I've got this one, Enemies of the Soul. I deal with unforgiveness, insecurity, and more in this four-part series. I've got this one, More Than Enough, dealing with a poverty mindset, breaking the spirit of lack and limitation. The blessing of an enemy, at every door of opportunity, there is adversity. So I give you information on that. And last one, God Friended Me, understanding and hearing the voice of God. As always, it's been my pleasure to be with you, Wave Church. God bless you, and know that I'll be praying for you.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.